ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 16. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Now, if you want to talk about demon possession, in one sense you can talk about the fact that the devil possesses everybody who's lost. He's the one who is the god of this world. The Bible says that the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. Even Jesus said to the Jewish people, "You are of your father the devil." You see, we're all lost. There are only saints and ain'ts. There are people who are saved and lost. Two types of people. Forget about race for a minute. You know, it all comes clear when you realize we are all one race. It's called the human race. And among the human race, there is a great divide. And that great divide takes on kind of sinister looks. We talk about skin color and so forth, and even behavior. But the reality is we are born with a sin nature, and unless we come to Jesus, we will die in our sins. We need Jesus. And we need to understand why it works and how it works and who God is. And we need to study, because we need to make sure we got good footing. This woman, we don't know why she was demon-possessed. You say, why are you making so much of that? Well, in one sense, it's because the Bible says that this woman, back in chapter 16, she was possessed by a spirit of divination. Her masters gained much money from that. This woman was a fortune teller. You know, when these shows on TV, they come in, they say, well, we knew nothing about this dead body, and this woman said there's a dead body, and he's a soldier from the Revolutionary War, and you find the blue or whatever in his coat and in the grave. And you say, wow, she knows stuff. She's so smart. No, demons aren't limited by time. They knew where it was. She locked in with a demon, and he told her where it was. Listen, they've been around studying humans forever, and they'll do whatever they can do to get you confused and get you intrigued, and there is a lust for power and knowledge in every human being. And when that is being tweaked, it's because the devil can do that. He can't manifest himself like he did before the flood, as we see in the book of Genesis in chapter 6. He is limited. Those who left their proper estate were put in chains. Now they're told, stay in your corner, stay in your corner. And when Jesus showed up, they would run to him and said, have you come to torment us before at the time? Don't send us to the abyss. My point is, there is a demonology you need to know from a spiritual perspective. It's literally angelology is the study we would embrace here. She was open somehow to some spirit of divination. As a result, she became a part of the market of the system there in Philippi, and men made money from her. And every day, the Bible says in verse 17, she came crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, when you read that, you need to understand when it says she cried, it means she shrieked. She shrieked it. And it was very annoying. And Paul didn't do anything about it right away. You know, it says, the same followed Paul and us many days, verse 18. Do you see that? She did this many days. She's screaming. You know what Paul was depending on? He was just thinking, well, the Holy Spirit, if she just hears the gospel, maybe she'll get saved. You know, people who have a demon problem, they just need to get saved. It's not about a power encounter. You don't go in and say, I command you to come out of him. You just tell him, sit down, let me tell you about Jesus. Do everything you can to get quiet. Pray yourself to a quiet place and say, God, let me know who you are. Please help me, because he will. Light received will bring greater light. You need to recognize the pattern. More light, more light, more light. You keep going for the dark. God will give you dark. He gives them up, gives them up, gives them up. But you got to get off of that road. We don't know why she was the way she was. And I say that because the Bible says in verse 18, Paul being grieved. Interesting about this is the word has the idea of toiling through it. It has the idea of worried. Do you know what happened here? He was getting to the place where he was saying, this woman is such a distraction, it becomes a problem for everyone who's trying to hear me. She's screaming. And I'm saying to you that that's what moved him to confront it head on. He wasn't there to do exorcisms, but this woman became a problem. And as I said, I referenced for you a moment ago, the same thing happened with Jesus when he was in that synagogue in the book of Mark. And Jesus had come out of him, and he was torn, and he fell into the ground. And And everybody was amazed that even the spirits were subject to him. These people weren't freaked out about spirits. Today, we're in America. We think there are no spiritual bad guys around. They're all everywhere, okay? They are everywhere. And they're doing their job like a fine-tuned machine. And boy, if you don't believe it, just look what's happening in America today. He's destroying us. He's destroying the church. He's pushing us all into our corner. In fact, he's gotten a deception that's afoot today that is unlike anything we've seen before. Many times the deceptions take different kind of manifestations. But the manifestation that is most common today that we're seeing is seen on down. And I want to get to it. I want to show you one of the ways that the devil's working. And it's kind of seated in here. But what he does is he commands this spirit to come out. So he's dealing really with the spirit. In verse 18, it says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, not to the woman, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out in the same hour. Wow. Now, I've listened to this on audio drama, and sometimes it's like he's yelling at the woman. He's not yelling at the woman. In fact, I could almost see him with all due gravity, but he's not angry at the woman. Do you know when people do things that are natural for them to do, we need to not be angry at them? And that's a hard one, isn't it? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? Principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, all that. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And when we see somebody who's been taken by the devil to do his will, we need to see them for who they are and see it for what it is. There is a spiritual dimension to people who are caught up in the throes of sinful lifestyles. Sin is a binding agent. That's why the Bible says we are freed from sin and we are dead to sin, because that's what had to happen. Chapter 6, chapter 7 of the book of Romans talk about it. Dead to sin, free from sin. Why? Because the devil wasn't our problem. Sin was our problem. Get our minds around that and you'll be way ahead of the game. You don't have to deal with the devil as an individual. You just need to deal with your sin. There's something in you that wants to continue there. And you need to say, God, I know that I've made decisions, and those decisions have created a little bit of static in my life in so much that maybe today I get voices. I mean, it can come to that. Sometimes you're just sad all the time. Remember that man who was in among the tombs? He was cutting himself with stones. That's cutting. We are cutting today, right? He was crying all the time, sad. He was fascinated with the tombs, death. You know, we're coming into a season where our entire society turns it on its ear and says, you know, it's funny to look at skeletons. It's funny to look and think about ghosts. I'm telling you, it's crazy. But we're above it. So I say get some tracts, and when they come to your door, give them a gospel tract and show them the light, because you don't need to confront the darkness. You need to light the candle, okay? Biblically, we are above that because we're seated above principalities and powers, Ephesians chapter 3 tells us. You and I, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Sometimes we just don't know it, so we behave according to what we know, and that's only so much. That's why we need to be taught. And so when we see this time where Paul cast this woman out, this created a problem in society. Just like when Jesus cast Legion out of that demoniac in Gadara, and those pigs went down into the sea and were killed, the people came out of the city and prayed to Jesus, leave, leave us. That's how they prayed. Why? Because he messed up their economy. They wanted their economy. They weren't supposed to be farming pigs. They were Jewish. Okay? They weren't supposed to be farming in the pork trade, and yet they wanted him to leave. And so as we see, Paul messed up their economy here. The Bible says that her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, caught Paul and Silas, brought them to the magistrates in verse 20. They said, these men teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, in our modern day, I was saying that there's an insidiousness about our day. And the insidiousness is seen here because there are customs. There are customs today. And the customs that are in our day are kind of impressed upon us. Yeah, you ever heard of ethos? Ethos, that's ethics. We get the word ethics. The ethics of our day are a mess. You know, they're changing the psychology, you know, the definition of mental illness on many things. And I won't go into all that, but you know it, right? And they're going to try to one day say Christians are mentally ill or something because they believe in God, and they believe in the devil, and they believe in heaven and hell. And because we believe in that, we must be mentally ill, they would say. And yet all of the evidence stacks up in our favor. But you're crazy. You must be crazy. Well, what we have is their ethos was something that was a problem. They're saying, they teach customs. They teach ethics or ethos, which are not lawful for us. And when you think of the word lawful, you think of the Jewish lawful. This is not that. This is not namas, which is Jewish for law and concept. But this is the word that literally has the idea of being that which is to be willing to say is right. It's saying it's right through the idea of being out in public. You know, there are some things people can't say out in public that they believe in their hearts because they will be vilified. It's called, you can have a microaggression, right? Where it's starting to ingrain in people's speech. You can't say certain things. Even I as a preacher, man, I'm struggling sometimes. How do I say this, you know? I don't do too well. They could get me. Okay, but I try. To try to make it a little bit more palatable to this world, because there's some things you can't. And that's the idea of the word lawful. It means to say what is right. It means to have it something being out, the idea of being out in public. And then another word here that's important is that it says that they receive. And the word receive means to admit or to delight. It says these are things for us that it's not lawful for us to receive. We can't admit. We can't admit that as being true. You see, what about boys and girls? They're different, right? What? Yes, they're different. They're so different. And yet in our high schools across the land, what are they doing? They're saying the boys can go in if they're identifying as a girl. They can go into the girls' room. Target, the store, Target says it's okay if a man wants to go in your daughter's dressing room. Listen, Target. People in our world don't know this because the news doesn't say it, but their kids go into a room and there's a guy in there with a camera and he's taking pictures of your wife or your daughter or your kids. It's out of control because they can't admit it, that it's wrong. They can't let that be out in public. They can't say it. Well, I can say it here. It's wrong. Okay, to do those things. And another word here is the idea of to observe. It's neither to for us to receive or to observe. And the word observe is the Greek word poieo. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Poieo, we are His poem. You see, we're not allowed. He's saying it's not lawful in our society to write a poem of a life that is well lived. Proper. Male, female, marriage, baby. First comes love, then comes marriage. Then comes the baby in the baby carriage. That's not acceptable today. To say out loud and to admit. My point is that's what's going on here. And because it has happened, what is going on in our generation today is the church is being pushed into a corner, and now we've defaulted from evangelism, because evangelism involves turning on some lights that nobody once turned on, and they've defaulted to social justice and social gospel. Feed the poor. Feed the poor. That's popular. I find it fascinating that a couple of quotes that I've heard in recent days are from Adrian Rogers, who, bless his heart, really nailed some of these things. Moral goodness is the worst kind of badness, is one thing he was noted to say. You say, why? Well, because people who go out and are morally good but never give the gospel, they make everybody think, well, that's how it's done. You know, people like to feel good about building a house and digging a trench and helping people with their groceries. The other thing was, soup and soap is not what people need. They need salvation. We need to realize the social gospel is a default mode that gets us out of the crucible of getting beat up, getting vilified like Paul and them are going to be here. So we're moving now. We're moving again. We've seen this hostility, because the Bible says in the hostility that these guys came against him. They gave charges against him. The multitude, verse 22, rose up against them. The magistrate rips off their clothes and then commands them to be beaten. And then they're given to the jailer, who puts them in stocks in verse 24. He puts them in stocks. Now see, that's what happens when you preach the gospel sometimes.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.